proceed to the fourth case, Bettendorf versus St. Croix County. Rose?
May it please the court, counsel. Good morning. My name is Mike Bros. I represent John Bettendorf. Mr. Bettendorf is and has been for many, many years a businessman of sorts, of many different types of businesses that he's been running. The beginning of this story goes back to the early 70s, I guess, when he and his wife moved out to what had been their family farm in a rural township in southern St. Croix County. And after a couple of years, they began a carpet installation business. And then also that evolved into a trucking operation. And by the time the mid-80s rolled around, Mr. Bettendorf, upon request from the county, became somewhat organized with respect to some of his zoning.
Well, let me ask you a question of law. Does Wisconsin recognize a nonconforming use?
Do they recognize a nonconforming
use? Is there such a being in existence in Wisconsin? Can you have a business that is a nonconforming use? That is, it's perfectly legal. The problem is that it doesn't meet the present zoning standards, but there's nothing the zoning people could do about it because it was there before.
St. Croix County does, but I'm not sure.
Well, no, I want to know whether, as a Wisconsin general law, I'm not talking about that specific county.
I believe the answer to the question is yes. I'm not sure how that applies.
Doesn't it do that in the concept of vested rights?
Yes, exactly. Okay. That's discussed in the Lake Bluff case, but
right, and some other cases. But that's relevant to your state takings claim as well as just some general fairness issues here, right?
To both, right? The equities of the case and the takings case, exactly. And so, in '85. Mr. Bettendorf and his family became a little bit more organized with the county and went out, and they actually had a portion of their land rezoned commercial. It had been res ag for all the years that they'd been doing their carpet business and their trucking business. As it turned out, that was an inappropriate a grant of the ordinance, but nobody realized it for about 20 years. In '85. When that rezoning took place, the county, who authorized that zoning change, included a clause to the effect that if Mr. Bettendorf ever died or sold his property, that commercial property
interest...
Well,
that's not off. It goes back to its original status.
Exactly. 5 years later, Mr. Bettendorf... went back to the county and asked for a special exception permit in addition to that commercial zoning that he'd been granted in '85. Sought a special exception so that he could build a large trucking terminal storage center for his various eclectic businesses. And it was granted, and in reliance on that, he spent about $450,000 building a building, hiring people, and doing other things attendant to his business. And then he continued on in those businesses until about 2003, when Mr. Bettendorf decided that it was time for him to consider selling his business. And he approached the county so that he could divine whether or not he had the authority to sell the business with the commercial zoning that he believed he had acquired in 1985. And the county objected. Mr. Bettendorf then filed suit to determine and have it declared by the St. Croix County Circuit Court whether or not he had that commercial interest that he could sell. And that case was litigated. In their answer, the county counterclaimed that the '85 zoning change commercial grant that was made was wrong. They just admit that they made a mistake. They never should have granted it in the first place, let alone have the severability clause. Oh, I'm sorry, the reversionary clause, that if he ever died or that he couldn't transfer that property. That counterclaim was answered by Mr. Bettendorf with the assertion that if the county wanted to raise that issue, there was a different procedure for doing so. They had to go through the county in an effort to give Mr. Bettendorf an opportunity to challenge that fact. The only issue that was raised in the initial pleadings by Mr. Bettendorf was whether or not the reversionary clause applied. In other words, could he sell the property with a commercial interest or not? The case was litigated all the way through. The circuit court found in Mr. Bettendorf's favor. The county took him up on appeal. The Court of Appeals reversed. There was a petition to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Wisconsin Supreme Court didn't take the case. It was remanded to the circuit court. The circuit court entered judgment on behalf of the county. That's the factual background. Following that, Mr. Bettendorf started this federal court action, claiming that the decision at the state court denied Mr. Bettendorf due process.
You've just walked into the Rooker-Feldman doctrine. It's all over your reply brief. Up until the judgment, Bettendorf did not sustain that injury until the final judgment. Right?
He did not have damages until the judgment was entered. True.
Okay. Let me ask you about the takings issues.
Okay.
There's a problem with whether your federal takings claims are even ripe. Okay. Because you haven't asserted those claims in the state courts.
We didn't assert a federal takings claim in the federal action. That's a pending state law claim, and we asserted a state law takings claim.
In this federal action, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But if there's not really a viable federal claim because of the Rooker-Feldman doctrine, perhaps that state takings claim belongs in state court, since you've got the county, as I understand it, trying to tell you you can't keep doing what you were doing in reliance upon the county's own ordinance. Right?
True.
I mean, I know you all have been going round and round with the county for a long time, and what I'm suggesting is you may need to go round and round with them one other place. But we've got to worry about the federal role here versus the state court role.
Okay. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I mean, as I understand the procedural basis, the jurisdictional basis for the state law takings claim is only on is that it's pendant to the due process claim.
To a federal claim that's barred by Rooker-Feldman, so there's no jurisdiction.
If it's barred, yes.
Yeah. When the district court was addressing your federal takings claim, the test seemed to be whether you were being denied all economically viable use of the property, right?
I agree.
I understood your argument to be more, not that there's no economically viable use of the property, but that you've got vested rights. You're entitled to continue using the property as the county had let you do so before.
I mean, the status of it is, I guess, Mr. Bettendorf has rights in the property right now. I mean, it's residential agricultural property. But what we're saying is that he has vested rights for the last 20 years, roughly, in the property that when he believed and when the county believed it had been zoned commercial. And those vested rights is what has been taken from him without compensation.
Mr. Rose, let me ask you, has the county actually started enforcement proceedings to collect penalties for violations in reliance upon the prior ordinance?
I don't know the answer to the question. I don't believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll step back briefly to the due process claim, just because that's where I was going in my notes. I apologize. If you guys want me to come back to the takings claim, I'm happy to do so. Our beef, I guess, with the due process claim is twofold, as was suggested a minute ago. it didn't come ripe. We didn't, in other words, we didn't have the opportunity to litigate it in state court, the taking of the entire commercial interest, because it wasn't ripe. We didn't know what the damages were until it was taken from us. We had no claim to make at that time.
Have the state courts decided you're vulnerable to all these penalties? They haven't. The courts haven't decided that. That's
no.
Just the county's position.
Right.
Okay.
Right. The other reason, the other reason that the process was insufficient. Is that had the county availed itself of the procedures that were in place, the county ordinances and the state laws, for challenging Mr. Bettendorf's commercial property interest, the zoning interest, Mr. Bettendorf would have been given the opportunity to take that up before the political bodies in the county. And I don't mean to suggest that Mr. Bettendorf is just trying to take advantage of some forum shopping, being able to put himself in a more friendly venue than perhaps the state court would have been.
He was aware of those administrative avenues, though, right? When he had the state court proceeding?
He was, but it wasn't Mr. Bettendorf's claim at that time. The only thing Mr. Bettendorf wanted to resolve when he started his action was whether or not he could transfer this property. He had no notion that he himself, aside from the transfer issue, might lose his commercial interest. That issue was raised on a counterclaim by the county, which we're saying if the county wanted to raise that issue, they had to go and go through this political process in order to deprive them.
My problem with that argument, Mr. Bros, is that you're really arguing with the Wisconsin courts about Wisconsin state law, okay? Because I understand that process is available for going through the rezoning, through the political processes. But as the case comes to us, the Wisconsin courts have said, given this rather unusual procedure that your client started, this is okay. We're comfortable doing this.
See, I'm not sure.
It really doesn't work to come into federal court and say the Wisconsin courts got Wisconsin law wrong.
Well, Judge Crabb decided the issue at the federal district level. I mean, the Wisconsin courts, I don't think, really addressed the issue that we're talking about because there was no issue to decide at that time.
Thank you, Ms. Bros. Ms. Doyle.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Amy Doyle, and I represent St. Croix County and its insurer in this case. We believe that the district court was correct when it dismissed Mr. Bettendorf's complaint on summary judgment. During the briefing at the district court level and even the briefing before this court and just listening to oral argument, at no time has Mr. Bettendorf or his counsel ever identified any material fact which he believes should have defeated summary judgment. Furthermore, at no time has Mr. Bettendorf explained with any clarity as to what he is contending, how the district court got it wrong, or how the county violated his constitutional rights.
I thought that was pretty clear. That is the county actually now, have you started enforcement proceedings against Mr. Bettendorf to assess penalties for violating the zoning ordinance?
I don't believe any enforcement penalties.
Have you threatened to do so?
Not to my understanding.
Why are we having this case then? I thought the county was trying to take the position and had served notice on Mr. Bettendorf that his existing use of the property is in violation of zoning ordinances. Am I wrong about that? About your position?
No. What happened was that in 2003, he filed the action regarding the ordinance, in a counterclaim, that issue was raised.
Right.
But ultimately, the county dismissed that counterclaim regarding penalties.
So you asserted a right to penalties in the lawsuit, and then you withdrew that.
That's correct.
Is that going to stay withdrawn? Can you tell us that you're not going to try to enforce those, try to enforce penalties for his reliance upon the prior ordinance?
I guess I cannot tell you that because I'm not involved in that aspect, but it's my understanding that that is not an issue because based on the Court of Appeals decision where they found the ordinance was void from the time of enactment, I'm not aware of any proceedings right now to enforce any penalties.
Would you agree with me that it would be terribly unfair and probably unconstitutional to try to do so? You can take that in those two separate parts if you want. Not everything that's unfair is unconstitutional.
I would agree that based on the fact that they did rezone the property for his use, to go back and say, now you have to pay, you know, these penalties.
Because we had no right to do so.
Right. So I would agree with that.
That it's unfair or unconstitutional?
I don't know if it's unconstitutional, but I don't think it would be a fair thing to do.
She doesn't rule on the constitutionality of things. She doesn't have to. Neither does she.
We'll just stick with what's fair and what's not.
That's right.
Well, is the property currently being used as a commercial?
It is zoned agriculture residential. So
is he using it, still using it?
I think that's still an issue with the county.
Well, I want to know, is he still using it? Come on.
It's, I think there is an issue.
Sorry, go ahead, Ed.
No.
He's not using it at all.
He may be living. The commercial zoning has been removed.
No. Use.
Commercial use has been removed.
He's not using it anymore? Is it commercial?
True.
Okay.
That was deprived pursuant to the counterclaim.
I thought you dropped the counterclaim.
She said that they dropped the claim for costs.
And penalties.
But they rescinded the commercial zoning that was granted
Yeah, we're all aware of that. Why don't you finish your argument, and I'll ask you, and we'll give you an opportunity to clarify my inquiry as of this date, whether it's being used as residence, agriculture, or commercial. I believe we won't have any other further exchange. You go ahead and finish your argument.
Okay, and I was just going to go into some of the facts that I think are important, and that goes to the Court of Appeals decision that voided the zoning from commercial back to agriculture residential, and that voiding of that ordinance was from the date it was enacted. So as if he never had a commercial zoning at any time. And I think that's important in this case because it goes to the issues of, you know, whether there was a taking and whether the county did something. A lot of the allegations in Mr. Benningdorf's complaint are that the county violated his constitutional rights. And a lot of that, and I'm going to start with the due process issue. Mr. Benningdorf argues that his due process rights were violated because the county did not follow its own procedures. And we're talking about an ordinance with the county that allows a party, including a property owner, the county, and also a town, can file a petition to amend a zoning ordinance. And it's Mr. Benningdorf's contention that his due process rights were violated because the county did not follow that procedure. It's still unclear as to when Mr. Benningdorf believes the county should have followed that procedure. Mr. Benningdorf chose to file a circuit court action regarding this ordinance. The issue before the circuit court was whether the ordinance could be severed. And while Mr. Benningdorf probably didn't expect it, the Court of Appeals ultimately found that the zoning ordinance was void in its entirety. Faced with the loss of that commercial zoning, he then proceeds to go to federal court and fashion a complaint alleging that the county somehow was responsible for this. When Mr. Bettendorf was the one that initiated the action, Mr. Bettendorf was the one that understood back in 1985 that his zoning was conditional, meaning if he ever sold the property in the future or died, his zoning would have reverted back to agricultural residential. So therefore, you know, even if the Court of Appeals found that the ordinance was valid, he still would be in the same position today, meaning he could not transfer his property with that commercial designation. Now, the ordinance regarding the amendment of zoning ordinances, which is Ordinance 1772, the plaintiff has not explained, even to this day, why he himself never followed or filed a petition under that ordinance. Even after filing the circuit court action, he could have dismissed that action. He could have amended his complaint, especially if he believes that that ordinance would have provided him better or more due process than the circuit court action. The circuit court action, along with the subsequent appeals, spanned over 4 years and included the circuit court action, two separate appeals, a petition for review. And Mr. Bettendorf has not explained how that process, which spanned over 4 years, did not afford him with adequate due process. Simply because he's disappointed with the decision or surprised with the decision doesn't mean that he was not afforded due process. And I think it's even more important is the fact that Mr. Bettendorf has not explained why the county is responsible for violating his constitutional rights. The decision in this case was done by the Court of Appeals. There's nothing that the county did in this case that violated Mr. Bettendorf's constitutional rights. And I think it's important that we remember that what happened in 1985, 1990, or even the year 2000 has no relevance, because those facts or those actions by the county would be precluded by the statute of limitations.
Are you trying to say, though, that a property owner in St. Croix County can't rely on an apparently facially valid zoning ordinance?
No, I'm not saying that. But there's no evidence that the county did anything from 1985 to 2000. And even if there was, as a basis of his allegation that the county promised him that the zoning was going to be changed or lulled him into believing that the zoning was no longer conditional, there's no allegation of that. But even if there was, it really would be barred by the statute of limitations. And I see my time is up, unless there are any questions.
Apparently not. Thank you, Ms. Doyle.
Thank you.
Rose, your time has expired, but you may have an additional minute.
Thank you, sir. And my apologies to the court and Ms. Doyle. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just trying to address the court's question, and I perhaps got a little carried away. Again, I apologize. I think it's been made clear, but I want to reiterate. The issue that was raised by Bettendorf in his state court action was whether or not he could transfer the property. The issue that was raised by the county in response to that action was whether the commercial zoning should ever have been granted at all. That was decided adversely to Mr. Bettendorf, that being whether it should have been provided at all. And so Mr. Bettendorf went into this action understanding he might lose on the issue in this declaratory judgment action that he commenced, whether he could transfer the property with a commercial interest. Okay? We lost that case. We get it. We have no claim for lack of due process with respect to that claim. What we have a beef with is that the county brought this counterclaim that destroyed his commercial interests altogether.
Mr. Brose, let me try to get back to Judge Flom's question here.
Okay.
Did your client respond to the counterclaim, in essence, by ceasing commercial use?
No, he was. I don't think at the time. And I shouldn't say no categorically because I'm not sure. He ceased commercial use when he lost the case. He responded to the counterclaim by saying, and it's included in the appendix, the answer and the amended answer, he responded to the counterclaim by saying, look, county, if you want to destroy my commercial, if you want to destroy this zoning that was granted back in 85, you have got to go through the procedures.
Okay, that, we know that didn't work. Okay.
Well, they didn't do it.
Yeah, okay.
And that is our claim for lack of due process. Mr. Bettendorf was robbed the opportunity for that political process to take place so that he could say, hey, county, 20 years ago you gave me these rights.
Could he have, before the commencement of suit, Mr. Burroughs, could he have initiated, knowing the county's new position on this, could he have initiated a review, an administrative review through the political process?
Probably. But he didn't know about it until the litigation started, is my understanding.
Well, he was told that he couldn't...
Told that he couldn't transfer the property.
Yeah.
I don't think he was told at that time that he commenced the litigation. I don't think he was told that he might lose his commercial interests altogether that had existed for the previous 20 years.
Well, but he was possessed of the knowledge of this reversionary aspect, right?
That yes, he was. I mean, that was...
He wanted to eliminate that limitation.
He wanted to find out whether that limitation was still in effect.
Yeah, he could have done that through the administrative process, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Burroughs. Thank you, Ms. Doyle. The case is taken under advisement.